Nice. I think it's been a fruitful series for me to hear as Nick started off with the Spirit-led life, and then of course having are we recording? Okay, and having last week Pastor Ray. So I want to have go ahead and have Nick read the scripture on the back there.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and the loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is the word of God.
Amen. Romans 1, 18 through 21, and our other scripture in Titus 3, 1, 2 through 7. And I wanted to do a little intro here about this first passage we're in is about, really about general, it's the theological term is general revelation. And basically it means that nature gives hints. In fact, it boldly declares two profound things. Nature, when you look at nature, it declares God's eternal power. And it declares his divine nature. How many of you have been overwhelmed by looking at something in nature before? There's this moment, see, and even before we get involved with the Holy Spirit's ministry, the testimony that nature brings to our hearts, that there is indeed a living God. Amen. I remember driving going to a friend's wedding. I was in Missouri at college, and I drove all the way through Kansas. We're going down to Arizona, got into Colorado, and the most amazing thing in Colorado, you couldn't see down here because of, I guess, the haze or whatever, but up in the sky, the purple mountain majesty stood in the air. And I'm driving along and went, oh my God. Goodness, look at that. These massive... How many have been to the Grand Canyon? Just looked out over the Grand Canyon. I remember Heather and I were in a car going in Carmel. I think you were maybe with this in me. And I was driving down this hill. And I've seen the ocean before, but the nature of the ocean, this one, this grayish, bluish, churning, and it looked so dramatic. And suddenly, there was this speaking into my heart. Bam! It's like... Oh my, I was overwhelmed at the effect of the power of the character and the nature of God in the water, looking at coming up. And I was like, oh wow, this is amazing. How many of you have been stirred by something like that before? How about just staring up in the night sky? I remember being in Montana. I've told you this before, but we went elk bugling. And elk bugling is the most fun thing. We had all these Montanans who, you know, if you're around Montanans, they're fun folks, man. Their life is hunting, you know what I mean? They live for the hunt. And we went up and drove all the way up to this ridge, and we're looking out over this ridge, and they take this little, they do these little sounds, and there's three or four different sounds they can make with a bugle, and they try to make a mating sound or some type of a sound that the elks make, and the elks go back. They try to get him to respond. They go, oh, we got one. And we did one. We got one. And that was another moment. And then we're about to leave, and we're standing on the ridge there, and I look up in the night sky, and it's as if there's this black felt with diamonds sitting on it. just out of reach. And I went, God, and I said, if I just got up on my tippy toes, I could grab one of those diamonds. The beauty of creation, witnessing to the majesty and grandeur of our Creator God. You understand what His artwork is like when you see the things that He has created. And we move from general revelation to special revelation. Listen to point number one. The Holy Spirit's work is seen in prevenient grace. Prevenient means to come before, and grace means God's undeserved and unearnable favor. So prevenient grace means God's undeserved and unearnable favor coming to you before you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. The next slide, John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And combine that with John 15:26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So you have this linking together of the Father's will being accomplished by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit bringing about this drawing the heart. Look at this next slide. It says, prevenient grace is the divine love that surrounds all humanity and precedes any and all of our conscious impulses. This grace prompts our first wish to please God, our first glimmer of understanding concerning God's will, and our first slight transient conviction of having sinned against God. God's grace also awakens in us an earnest longing for deliverance from sin and death, and moves us toward repentance and faith. Everybody say prevenient. Prevenient grace. I put it this way, prevenient grace is a wooing grace that draws a person to awake to the reality of the living God. Years ago in the Jesus movement, or the Jesus people movement, there was a band called the Second Chapter of Acts. They wrote a song, Easter song, "Hear the bells ringing, they're singing." Some of the old OLD people understand this. And there was another guy named Barry McGuire, had a 12-string guitar, and he would sing and tell these stories, and had an album called To the Bride, and they traveled all over the country doing this concert. And I have so many stories about these, but I got to meet Barry later. Well, Barry had a story on there about when he was on a fishing vessel coming out of San Pedro, California, and he was young and he didn't know the Lord at the time, and he was in the back of the fishing boat, and he looked down and the waters were crystal clear. He could see about 20 feet down, and he saw a dolphin. He was like, "What?" And this dolphin comes popping up right in front of him, and he's reaching out trying to touch the dolphin. There's this moment, this dramatic moment. "I've got it." So he runs and gets a towel. He ties a knot in the end of it just long enough, and the dolphin comes up and goes, whack, and hits the dolphin on the head. And the dolphin goes, wee, 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 wee. The dolphin never been whacked before and loved it. And wanted to come back for another. And then that dolphin went, and there were hundreds of dolphins. They all began to come to the back of the boat, all got in line for the whack. He was having the time of his life, going, "Oh, bam, whoa, bam, whoa, bam." And dolphins were jumping up to there wanting to be hit next. And he's just going at it, wham, wham. An hour of joy and happiness and thrilling out of his mind. Could you imagine all the dolphins wanting to be whacked by your towel? He gets to the end of that. He says, he's so dramatic, he says, "In the last dolphin came up for the last whack. He bit down, whack, and then all dolphins, they all swam away. And the Lord whispered to him," he didn't know the Lord. And the Lord said, "Barry, I created them all for you." Prevenient grace. God's saying, I'm reaching into your life before you know me. I want to set you up to know me before you know me. I want to woo your heart to who I am. I want you to have a sense that I'm a loving God and a giving God and a caring God. And I choose to do things intimately in your life to draw you to me. Pastor Heather, before she met the Lord, she had that same question that many, many, many people have. If you're a good God, why is there evil in the world? An honest, heartfelt question. And the Lord spoke, and she didn't know the Lord. And he said, Heather, how about this? He knows your name before you know him. He says, Heather, I didn't create it that way. She had God speaker in her heart, prevenient grace, the drawing grace. The reason the Lord put this on my heart is he wants us to be aware of how he draws people and to be a part of that. Amen? I got another one in here somewhere. Oh, yes, the geologist up in Alaska, looking at this rock crystal, staring at the rock crystal and being oh so amazed at the uniqueness of the design and how overwhelmed he was by the creative touch. And the Lord whispers in his heart before he knows the Lord, I made that. Those moments where God enters in your heart and your life and lets you know that he's there and he's drawing you to himself. There's a couple of things I want you to be aware of. If you are being drawn to God, then the Holy Spirit is going to answer the questions in your heart if you seek him and ask. So be praying for people, because there are people that are hunting. There are people that wanting more than they have. They're unsure of where life is going. These are turbulent days. It's tough times. And be aware, be praying for people. I want to ask you to just take on the challenge when somebody walks up to you. Just in your heart, say, Lord, bless them. I can tell you the benefit of it. The Lord's love will begin flowing from your life more. Before you see people in the morning, just pray, Lord, bless them. Lord, bless them. If something more comes on your heart, if you know exactly what they need, or if you pray in the Spirit over, just speak blessing. When you're leaving their presence, Lord, bless them. Holy Spirit, prompt this in our hearts, because there are so many people that have need and they're looking for the God who loves them and they already have. And the second thing that happens is he will lead you to people who will show you what he is like and point you to the answers in the Bible that speak to your need. Isn't that the truth? How many of you have already had that happen in your life? When he was pulling you in, God began to send people around. Isn't that right? And somehow they just knew what to say. What is this about? And it's almost like the amount of people that show up, knowing what to do, increases. God just sets things in order and begins to draw. Prevenient grace, wonderful, isn't it? The wooing of God. Be sensitive to that. Don't try to be the Holy Spirit. Partner with the Holy Spirit and let him do the kissing. Let him do the caressing. Let him do the reaching and touching. Let him be heaven that enters the realm of earth. Let that eternity brush up against their earthly awareness and let them have that encounter. Guys, we need to open our hearts to partnership with the Holy Spirit to reach people like never before. Like never before. The Holy Spirit's work brings the kiss of heaven to our souls through prevenient grace. Next fill in the blank. The Holy Spirit's work is seen through saving grace. Through saving grace. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night. This is called the Nick at Night episode. And he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, and no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Everybody say, that which is born, everybody. That which is born of spirit, or spirit, is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. I love this. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound. You do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, there comes a moment. There came a moment in my life. Mine was a rather dramatic salvation experience. Different people have different kinds of moments, but the point is your will. You make a choice. Something down inside, you realize this is the moment. Everybody say this with me. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. And so what happens is the Holy Spirit, when you open to the need that you have in your heart for God and His love to enter your life, and you make that choice to follow Jesus, and you become aware, I'm a sinner and I need some forgiveness. And as this begins to happen, and this transaction, this eternal transaction happens, there are several things that go on. The first one is, there's an initial entrance of the Holy Spirit into your spirit. Into your spirit. And the light comes on the inside. And you're suddenly aware of God's love in a great way. And you suddenly are aware, too, that your sins, even though they're in your life, they don't seem to matter. Because God is forgiving you. And all this is going on very quickly. And then you were told that at that moment, your name is being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there will come a day when all the books are opened in eternity. It says, and they'll be going to open in this. They're going to open the books and all the things that everybody's done. And everybody will be judged. And all those are going to come before the Lord. But the ones who believed in the Lord, the book is open and your name is in the book. And you come into heaven and you come and be with him. It's Jesus' heaven, and he decides. And he knows who believes. He knows who's trusted in him in their heart. He understands. He was calling you before you knew him, and he sealed the deal when you met him. Hallelujah. Anybody need more of him right now? It's more of him. That's why we come and worship and plug in and open to him and ask God for his grace to abound, because the Holy Spirit's work is a saving grace. And you can't rush it. Somebody tried to rush it with me. I was forced down to an altar, and they forced me to say a repentance prayer. And I said the prayer, and I walked away unchanged because the timing wasn't right. Somebody wanted me saved, and they thought they were doing a good thing, but it alienated me, and it put pressure on me. And I was confused after that because I wanted God, but the timing was off. And then when it came to my time, I was standing there by myself. I was in the environment of salvation, and there was an altar call, but that was a deliberation, and God spoke to me himself and offered himself to me, and I received him on the basis of him communicating directly to me, and I was ready at that moment. And if people aren't ready, it's alienating to push them. So let's learn to partner with the Lord. Let's learn to partner with the Lord. Can I have another little amen underneath here? But never be fearful. Never be fearful, because it is not just the works of service that bring people in. They must hear the good news. And the good news is this, that Jesus Christ has come to change the fundamental way of things. You can no longer have the pressure on you of having to earn salvation. That Jesus Christ has done the job for you. He has died in your place, living a life you couldn't live and dying a death you deserve to die. And he says, if you trust in me, I'll take all the burden of your sin away from you, and I will wash your slate clean and make you mine. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 2:4 says, but God. I love that. I've heard guys say, I love the big buts in the Bible. I don't know what that means, but it sounds funny. Because it says when we are under the influence of the god of this age and the whole setup and by obedient to children of wrath, and it says, but God in his mercy, but God in his great mercy, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, there it is, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. And the Holy Spirit's work brings the kiss of heaven to our souls through saving grace. And let's look at number three. Praise the Lord. Number three, in addition to the saving grace, the Holy Spirit's work is seen in regenerating and renewing grace. We read this scripture. It says, for we ourselves were once, and it goes on down and says, we were foolish. Tell you what, put 8 back up before we go on. Back up so that people can get this. The slide before this one, there you go. Regenerating and renewing. Regenerating and renewing. The scripture says that. It says through the regenerating, the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. The washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. This is a powerful work of grace. Now let's go to our next slide. Titus, for we ourselves were once. And I love that about Paul. Paul goes, okay guys, we don't want to be this way because all of us were. Everybody here, everybody was foolish. Everybody was disobedient. We were all led astray. We were slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice. That basically means an envy. That means ill will and desire to injure and wickedness and depravity. And this is a powerful word because it means wickedness is not ashamed to break laws. It's just evil. And envy is promoted. I mean, envy means promoted or prompted by envy. So you're just mean for the sake of you wish you had other people's stuff. Hated by others and hating one another. Let's imagine two households here. During our last district conference, Peter Bonanno he shared his testimony. And he opened up his heart and talked about his childhood. And his home was where drug dealings, and his mother was a drug addict. And his father, I think, ended up in prison. And you would never know, looking at him, or his wife or marriage or whatever, his kids, that any of this could ever have happened. He just looks like he's one of the most wonderful people you could meet. Tremendous lover of God. I'm just grateful, so grateful that God's placed him. He's so humble too because he knows that everything that's been built for our district has been on the back of somebody else, and he just wants to come along and help steward it and take it to a new level, and he's doing that, and he's helping us all. He's really a wonderful guy. You would have not known that he grew up in a household where the word heroin was common, where as a little kid, and he remembers, he would tell about different ones coming in and doing drug deals and how he could feel the evil and the oppression. He knew something was wrong. And then there came a day when all these other people came in and they were speaking in a different language and they were gathering around his mom and they were praying, and he didn't know what it was because they were speaking in other tongues and praying for her. But he didn't know what it was, but it felt right, and he knew it was right, and he knew something was really good in the house. And not too long after that, his mother ended up in a drug rehab that was associated with a church, and they got to know the family. And so everybody in the family opens up their hearts to the Lord and commits to the Lord, except Peter. Peter's like a little distant. He's a little tripped out about this. And then the day comes for him. He said when he went to church the first time, he said he was determined he was just going to sit there and be defiant. I think he's only like 12 years old, right? It comes to the end of the service, and Peter says of himself, he says, we get to the end of the service, and he says he made a beeline for the altar and stood there, and the pastor said, you want Jesus today? He said, yes, sir. And he prayed for him, and he was also baptized in the Holy Spirit on the spot. God filled the heart hunger of a young man that says, I got to have something more than the hellish life I grew up. The family. What family would you want to grow up in? Would you want to grow up in a family that is all broken, that's foolish and disobedient, led astray and led around? The parents are all addicted and out of control. And there's families like this around here where this is just horrible. What kind of warmth in the love, what kind of warm-hearted love can happen in the heart of a child who's growing up in a broken home like that? And that's what we once were, but. And this is what it declares. But when the goodness and loving kindness of our God appeared, He saved us, not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified in His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now let's go ahead and look at the nature of what these mean. Washing of regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Washing is actually, the Greek word is the act of bathing. You'd think maybe of water baptism at this point, but it's beyond that. Also, the word regeneration, the production of a new life consecrated to God, a radical change of mind for the better. The word often used to denote the restoration of a thing to its pristine state. Its renovation as a renewal or restoration of life after death. And the word renewal, just a complete change for the better. Isn't that good? And so now we see in Peter's life how but God changed them all. And you see the radical change. He doesn't have a drug-infested home. He has a Christ-centered home. He has a completely different household. The parents actually care deeply about the well-being of the children. They read stories at night in the bed. They pray with their kids. They take them to places to develop their abilities and skills. They support them with loving words and affirmation. They model a love for Jesus and His grace in their lives. They ask for forgiveness when they mess up, and the children see the real love of God coming through their parents. The kids are healthy and responsible, and they all walk with the Lord and are active helping others. That's the household that Peter and Lisa have today. Which one would you like to grow up in? And this is what the regenerating and renewing grace accomplishes in our lives. Now I'm going to go a little deeper with this. Just a little deeper to show you the impact and power. You can come on up. The impact and power of regenerating grace. The washing of the Spirit. A few years back, there was a prayer session. We were praying for someone. They were covered with shame because it was a lady. She had had multiple sexual encounters. She knew the Lord, but she still carried the cloak of shame over her soul. And the reason she carried the cloak of shame is because she had all this present sense of this shame concerning the sexual activity of her life. And then the prayer time, the person ministering to her became aware of fingerprints, the stain of sexually, the groping and the touching and the lewdness all involved. And the lady felt covered with fingerprints. And when that word came forth, the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit came and began to wash her soul and cleanse her where she felt like she had never sinned. He took away all of the stain. The washing and renewal, the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. I knew another fella. He was at a cleansing stream retreat with us. This is before I was kind of early on in the ministry there. And he wouldn't, any time somebody prayed for him, he wouldn't close his eyes. He had his eyes wide open. The whole time, had his eyes wide open. And it became obvious, people around him, his eyes wide open. And he was so concerned because if he closed his eyes, there was a pornographic image. And he didn't want to see it. And he was prayed for in the washing of the regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit came and washed that image out of his eye gate. The grace of the Holy Spirit to come and say, come here, my beloved. And he kisses away the filth. He washes away the sense of shame. He covers us. I was I was praying for somebody myself, and the person was an orphan. And they had this deep-rooted sense of rejection. Because if my mother or father had wanted me, they would have kept me. But they gave me away. So I feel this rejection, he said. And I didn't know exactly what to do. So I looked to the Lord. I said, Lord, how do you want to deal with this? And the Lord showed me the most marvelous picture. He showed me the egg, and he showed me all the sperm swimming by. And he made me aware that the moment that one sperm touched and penetrated the egg, he said to me, that was my moment. I wanted him. Tell him that was my moment. It doesn't matter who your parents were. And he highlighted to me the verse, I'm the father of all spirits. I created you. I created you out of love. I created you. That was my moment. I had that. That was my moment. I had that little spirit. I was thinking of you, and I said, oh, the day you're going to come to me. Oh, the life I have for you. I was my moment. And in the scripture, Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Oh, God is all over. It doesn't matter where you came from. The washing of the regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit will set your heart right and put things together for you in a way you can never know or do it on your own. Aren't you glad that he comes to you before you ever knew him and you hated him and you didn't know why? How many of you hated God, didn't know why, couldn't understand because all the bad stuff going on? You just figured if he was better, you're going around this stuff. And he keeps wooing you. Finally, you come to him and then you still got all these problems. And the Holy Spirit's work in the earth is to have a people who can partner with him in the realm of prevenient grace and saving grace and the washing of the regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit to bring people to wholeness so that they step into their destiny. It doesn't matter if you were found in a trash can. You can praise the Lord for life and rise up and say, God made me because he designed me. He planned me. How many of you know that's true? You be around the Lord for a little bit and the love awakens reality. When you get saved, the Lord starts to give you glimpses, just really little photograph moments of what you're going to become. And then you know what? I want to tell you, some of you guys already know, I can sense a greater sense of destiny that is arising in your hearts. And moving down here has been a key and instrumental moment for all of us. It's kind of unsettling in some ways. And we've gone through our trials, but the reality is the grace of God is resting upon us. The Holy Spirit's working in us. Are you there? How many of you are happy that God really cares deeply about you like this? Let's have those praying for the Ray and you, the ones that come over here. I'm going to just make an appeal because I don't know what's going on in everybody's heart. I'm not God, but I know that God's drawing people. And Salvation basically boils down to a decision, a willful decision, where you say, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to trust in Him with who I am. And maybe you don't feel like you get it. Maybe you've done that before and you feel like you bounced out of it. Can I just tell you about the Lord? Scriptures declare He puts all your tears in a bottle. He understands all your wonderings. All your led astray moments, all the things that you feel bound to and you're still not freed from. He understands all those things. And He's got a hold of you. And nothing can pluck you out of His hand. And if you turn to Him in the midst of your heart's desires and despairs and moments, He's going to say, I'm going to liberate you and set you on a path that's going to cause you to have the touch of God come through your life like you would never have known before. Is anybody in for that? Is that the ride you want to go on? Is that the adventure of your life? Let's lift our hearts and our heads to Him right now. Holy Spirit, come afresh. Since right now the Lord said, I'm doing the washing part right now. I'm doing the washing. I'm regenerating hearts right now. I'm regenerating souls right now. As you've heard this word, God's released a washing effect by the Holy Spirit to come and cleanse and do that. You can sense that in the room right now. Just lift your head to Him. Lord, He's going to wash over you. Praise you, Jesus. God, church, just lift up a murmur of prayer and gratitude to the Lord for what he's doing in the Spirit here. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just ask for the washing, that water to increase, and the beautification of each life, the soul that has been troubled, and all the things that don't feel they can be free from. Right now, you're imparting freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And you're giving it. There's a grace. There's a grace. There's a grace. There's a grace. Praise you, Lord. There's a grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord now. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being with me in the midst of my situation. Thank you, Lord, for walking me out of things I can't walk out on my own. Thank you, Lord, for being the strength I need. Thank you, Lord, for being the deliverer I need. Thank you, Lord, for being the healer I need. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for being Lord over all of my life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know we got to close it down, but oh man, I feel like I just opened up. Let's go ahead and stand together. Hallelujah. Listen, there is a whole lot of things that can be going on in your heart right now, and maybe they weren't addressed in your time of praying in a prayer circle. I want you to know that there's ministry available to you right here. And don't be shy. Don't shy away from that. If there's something you need, we have agreeing prayer. We have authority in Jesus Christ to pray and see freedom come, healing come. Let's continue in that spirit and step into that, all right? So now, Lord Jesus, we just lift up our hearts. We lift up our praise. Let's praise Him. We lift our praise to You. We lift up a great sense of gratitude for You being our Savior. We praise You and thank You. And as we see it, Lord, as we just seal this word to our hearts, we praise You and seal it with an amen. 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 Love on each other, church, and let's continue in a spirit of ministry in this house. Amen.